This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 651 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thanks for tuning in. Last week on the show, I talked about some teams that look like regression candidates here in 2022. Today, I'm going to do the exact same thing, but with a focus on players. And not just any and all players. I think most of you listening to this, you know about some of the more obvious regression candidates this year, like James Conner or maybe Damian Harris. My goal on today's show is to avoid talking about those players. Instead, I want to bring up some guys who don't get talked about enough when the regression conversation arises. They're low-key regression candidates. Or at least, they're not the most obvious ones in the world. Some of them may be obvious to you, but I do think that you'll walk away from today's episode with some new information that you didn't necessarily know or think about beforehand. That's the hope, at least. Now, before getting to those low-key players, I want to give a shout to the Establish the Run podcast. The podcast is free and hosted by two legends in the fantasy space, Adam Levitan and Evan Silva. You probably remember them from their time at RotoWorld. Establish the Run episodes are quick, fun, and packed with analysis. They cover fantasy news and reactions, rankings, how to bet player props, best ball, and more. I think it's a great complement to the Late Round Fantasy Football podcast, since it's more conversational in nature and they cover topics that I might not cover. I'm a longtime listener, and I can vouch that they know what they're talking about. So check out the Establish the Run podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, don't forget to sign up for FanDuel Fantasy. For users who have yet to make a deposit on FanDuel Fantasy, you can deposit today to receive two free entries. All you have to do is deposit a minimum of $10 in your FanDuel DFS account, and you'll be instantly rewarded with two free vouchers. Be sure to deposit now and play for free. Head over to FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel Fantasy app today. Eligibility restrictions apply. Go to FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel app for more details. Maybe this first one's kind of obvious. When a player has an elite season, he's likely going to see some regression. Because in order to have that elite season, something crazy probably happened statistically. Jonathan Taylor outperformed touchdown expectation last year with his 18 rushing touchdowns. But it wasn't to the point where he's the most obvious regression candidate on the planet. Players like Damian Harris and James Conner and even Joe Mixon exceeded touchdown expectation more. And this is all according to two sources. I'll be looking at my method of determining rushing touchdown regression, which looks at where players saw their touches, and I'll be cross-referencing Pro Football Focus's expected points formula as well. So you're getting multiple takes here, not just taking my formula's word for it. But according to my formula, Taylor outperformed in the rushing touchdown column by a little over two touchdowns last year. It was a little under two over at PFF. That doesn't seem very extreme to call out on today's show, right? That's not that crazy. Well, remember, formulas like that are based on where Taylor saw touches last season. Last season, the man had 30 goal line attempts. 30. We had an extra game last year, but that was the most goal line attempts that we've seen from anyone over the last decade. LeGarrette Blount had 29 of them back in 2016 when he scored 18 touchdowns himself. There's a good chance that those attempts fall. We've had eight running backs hit 25 goal line attempts since 2011. None of them have done it more than once, because it's really hard to see that much work. There's a decent chance the Colts throw more naturally this year, not just because of the Matt Ryan acquisition either. Just natural regression tells us that. That plays into this kind of statistic and this kind of regression. Chances are, Taylor won't be used as heavily at the goal line, and that'll impact his rushing touchdown totals. Taylor's still my 101 in season-long drafts this year, because he's still a safe bet to see a ton of work and to score a lot of touchdowns. We just need to recognize that we can't project last season every season. A lot of people will rightfully talk about Deebo Samuel's dual threat 2021 season and how he's not going to keep that up in 2022. But another dual threat player who had a crazy, crazy 2021 was Austin Ekeler. Ekeler had 20 touchdowns last year. 12 were on the ground, and he probably outperformed there by two or three scores. But he also outperformed as a receiver. Ekeler had his second career season with eight receiving touchdowns last year. That tells you that, yes, he's a dynamic pass catcher out of the backfield. We know this. But scoring eight times as a receiver at running back, that's not an easy feat to accomplish. In fact, it's only happened seven times in NFL history, with Marshall Faulk doing it twice and Ekeler doing it twice. According to my numbers, Deebo Samuel ranked first last year in the he scored too many touchdowns bucket. Debo outperformed touchdown expectation more than any other player. But do you know who was second? Austin Eckler. This is probably a good time to point out too how situation impacts regression. I've seen a lot of takes out there saying that player X will regress because player X now has different competition than he had last year. That's not really the way that you should be viewing regression. When we study regression, we're just looking at how numbers conform to some mean or some average. So Eckler, given where he saw touches last year and the opportunities that he got, he outperformed touchdown expectation. So we should expect regression there, all things being equal. If he saw the exact same looks this year, he'd probably score fewer touchdowns. But regression doesn't necessarily tell us the why. And we know that all things aren't equal year over year. For example, let's say that a player has an absurd yards per carry rate one year. We know that yards per carry regresses from one year to the next. We're going to see that with Rashad Penny this year. But all we know with regression is that his yards per carry rate is going to drop. We witnessed this happen historically. But we didn't investigate that further. Is it because he won't have as many long runs? Is it because the offensive line is going to be worse? All we see is that yards per carry changes one year to the next across this giant sample. It regresses. We don't know the exact reason for an individual player when we visualize this happening. And there are typically a ton of reasons as to why. You can then investigate and you can figure out why on the individual level. But when we look at one statistic, we're not digging into that. We're just saying this statistic regresses. One of these reasons, though, could be situation. Things go really well for a player situation one year. Maybe his offensive line didn't suffer any injuries and they just played out of their minds. But there are changes from one year to the next, which helps with our trend of watching yards per carry regress. Maybe the quarterback was excellent, but that quarterback situation changed. Those situational changes could be reasons why we see these high-level regression trends. But we're not really analyzing to that detail. We're simply saying this statistic regresses. So this is relevant to Eckler because the Chargers drafted Isaiah Spiller. And if Spiller ends up being the RB2 that they've wanted for so long, that could play into some of the volume-related things that we're seeing with Eckler. As in, his situation was so great last year, but that situation itself is sort of regressing. But regardless, on a rate basis, Eckler should see some regression, even if he does see the exact same workload this year. I'm just noting why some of the volume-related numbers tend to regress. Okay, maybe the first two guys weren't totally low-key. They're two of the best players in fantasy football. We know a lot about them. I just think people don't talk about regression enough with those two guys compared to others in the early rounds, like Debo Samuel or even James Conner. But let's dig a little bit deeper. I've mentioned this guy on the podcast in the past, but how about Joe Burrow? I feel like everyone knows Burrow's 2021 season was awesome, but I don't think they realize how good it actually was. Burrow had one of the highest yards per attempt rates last year in NFL history, and he had a 6.5% touchdown rate. I wrote about this in my draft guide, which you can purchase over on lateround.com, but among quarterbacks with back-to-back seasons of 300-plus attempts since 2011 who also had a touchdown rate of 6% or better, only 11% of them saw an increase in touchdown rate the following year. The average drop in rate was 1.6%. Situationally, things were pretty sweet for Joe Burrow last year. I know the offensive line was pretty bad, but the Bengals' playmakers didn't have any serious injuries. Hopefully that's the case this year. But we know that star players eventually miss time due to something. That's another situation-related thing that went a player's way last year, which is what I was just talking about with Austin Eckler. The hope for Burrow in fantasy is that Cincinnati throws the ball more in 2022 because that could combat some of this efficiency regression. Even still, I think Burrow's a little bit overvalued right now in fantasy drafts. My projections see him more as a low-end QB1. The market has him straight up as a mid-range one. Now, speaking of touchdown rate regression, not that anyone is drafting him as a QB1 or anything, but Jameis Winston, my goodness. Last year, he had an 8.7% touchdown rate. He threw a touchdown for every 83.6 yards that he had through the air. The league average last year was a passing touchdown for every 158 passing yards. This is just a friendly reminder to not look at Winston's finishes last year and assume he's just going to do that in 2022. The Saints scored in a pretty lopsided way before his injury happened. They almost had the exact same pass-to-rush touchdown ratio as the Rams did. The Rams led the league in that category last year. So keep that in mind as you project Winston and this offense in 2022. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett both exceeded touchdown expectation last year, which is pretty wild when you consider their circumstances. Based on the type of targets that they saw, Metcalf played about 4 touchdowns over expectation, Lockett was about 3. Lockett was also his efficient self, but to a degree that we don't always see. He had a yards per target rate of almost 11, that was the second highest rate of his career. The last time he was that high, it fell to 9.6 the following season. That just happens to be his career average. We typically see that with wide receivers, even the efficient ones like Lockett. Big yards per target rates 1 year lead to some regression the following season. That should be the expectation for a ton of reasons for Tyler Lockett. Seattle was just a weird team last year. They should run more plays this season based on team-level regression, so that can combat this a little bit. But the obvious difference in situation here is the lack of Russell Wilson. To be honest, one of the reasons I wanted to bring up Metcalf and Lockett is because sometimes regression just doesn't matter when so much changes to a player's situation. The average fantasy manager is not expecting the world from either one of these wide receivers this year, because Russell Wilson is gone. So the market doesn't really care about regression anyway. But it at least should be noted, because these are two players where regression isn't really being talked about. Most talk about Kyle Pitts' lack of touchdowns last year at tight end, but Cole Kmet's scoring, or lack thereof, was just as strange. Since 2011, only 2 tight ends have failed to score a touchdown while hitting 75 or more targets. And since that same time frame, Kmet is the only tight end to not score with 85 or more targets, and he had 93. If he stays healthy, he's going to score more touchdowns this year, even in a run-heavy offense. And I wrote this up in my draft guide, which, by the way, did I mention that you can purchase for $24.99 over on lateround.com? But Kmet could walk into a 20% target share this year. And of the 67 tight ends since 2011 with 8 or more games played who had a prorated target share of 20% or higher, 63 of them ended up scoring 10 or more PPR points per game. Since the tight end position sucks, that's a low-end tight end one season. Basically, draft Cole Kmet. Let me read you Allen Robinson's yards per target rates during his 4 years in Chicago. You ready? It was 8.0 in 2018, 7.5 in 2019, 8.3 in 2020, and then 6.2 in 2021. Among wide receivers with 50 or more targets last year, Robinson ranked in the 11th percentile in yards per target. Maybe this is the start of his decline. Maybe he won't pan out in LA. I'm more on the side that I think he's a good value this year, but I obviously see the downside. And at least this can bring you some comfort. Of the 50-plus target wide receivers who had a yards per target rate of 6.5 or lower since 2011, there were 58 of them who then saw 50 targets the following year. Of those 58, just 6 saw a decline in yards per target, and the average increase was by 1.8 yards. Now, since Robinson is closer to that 6.5 mark than some of the players in this sample, we can't just assume that he hits an 8 yards per target rate this year. Although I wouldn't be surprised. But I do think that we can feel bullish on that number getting a lot better, especially when you look at his career numbers. This is just to say that we shouldn't expect Robinson to be as inefficient as he was last year per target, even if he really is a declining player. Stephon Diggs last year, he ranked 2nd in the NFL in red zone targets. He only trailed Cooper Kupp. He was tied for 2nd in targets within the 10, trailing only Cooper Kupp. And only 10 wide receivers had more targets at the goal line. Diggs finished the season with 10 touchdowns, but given where he was seeing his targets, he actually should have had a lot more. My numbers have him at 3.5 more touchdowns, PFF was at 3.8. And according to PFF's formula, only Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones underperformed in the touchdown column more than Stephon Diggs did. Diggs is rightfully going early in drafts, but this is another reason to be excited. He still has more of a ceiling to hit. Now, I think most of you probably know that regression is coming for Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think you may realize how insane his 2021 was, but in a bad way. Lawrence threw 12 touchdowns on 602 attempts. That's a touchdown rate of 1.99%. It was just under 2%. Since 2011, the only other quarterback to have thrown 300 or more passes, and there have been well over 300 of them, but the only other quarterback to have 300 or more pass attempts and that low of a touchdown rate was Sam Bradford in 2011. Bradford only played 10 games that year too, so who knows if we would have seen some regression hit as the season went on. Jacksonville had the third lowest pass-to-rush touchdown ratio in the league last year, which isn't surprising when you throw so few passing touchdowns. But Lawrence went through an 8-game stretch last year where he had one freaking passing touchdown. He's not going to be nearly that bad statistically in 2022 for so many reasons. It's honestly hard to do what he did last year touchdown-wise. Now, like I said, some of these guys might have been low-key, some of them you might already have known about, but they weren't necessarily the typical ones that you do hear about. There are lots of other regression candidates, but I thought that these were the most interesting to call out on today's show. But that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet subscribed to the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. Remember to check out the draft guide over on lateround.com. It's $24.99, it's updated weekly, and it's got what you need to dominate your drafts this year, I promise you. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week.